My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And by the way, I might mention that you might say, well, hey, we're dead to the law. But there is a matter pertaining to the law that has to do with morals. And these morals have to do with your heart. And so even though you're dead to the law, does not mean that morally that you should commit adultery or murder or lie or steal and on and on and on. Verse 2, for length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I might say, and don't you forget it. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow of thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I read these passages, and I look out here this morning, and I see empty seats. And I think, what a tragedy. What a tragic situation. Here is a group of people that just went through a circumstance where they bit their fingernails and they walked the floor and they paced and they thought about running and many probably did and on and on and on. And yet, where are they this morning? The Lord passed them by as far as the storm is concerned. And where are they today? What are they doing now? According to the scripture, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. But what do people think when it's time to go to church? What do they think when it's time to go to Bible class? What do they think when it's time to get the book down and study the book? Strange things, would you say? Now, there are three things that I want to refer to here today. A simple message in view of the things that have just happened. The three words, nothing, anything, and everything. I want to impress those words on you. Nothing, anything, everything. Those three words. Turn in your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And notice in verse 37. Luke 1, verse 37. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. I know there are people that do not believe that. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I want to tell you about an experience I had. This storm is on its way here. They kept showing the little arrows, you know, the little dots and everything on the maps. That thing is going west, and then all of a sudden it makes a U-turn, and it starts back, and then it turns to the left, and it starts coming our way. And here we are looking at the television, and they're saying, get ready. This is going to be worse than, and they begin to name the hurricanes. So they start at a category 1, then they go to category 2. They say, this is a category 3, this is getting serious. Then they said, this thing is a category 4, and at some point indicated a category 5 hurricane with winds over 150 miles an hour with gusts beyond that. And they're saying, run. They're saying, get out. They're saying, do whatever you need to do, but do it now. And so they're evacuating things and on and on and on. And here we are, we're watching this thing and we're thinking, hey, this is rough. We're picturing in our minds our homes being like toothpicks. We're picturing in our minds the roofs going and the trees down everywhere and our homes just shoom and they're just gone. And we're picturing Miami after Andrew. And so I had already been praying, but and I'm sure there are a lot of people that this is true of them. And I've had a real problem with this kind of thing. I want to tell you, I've had a real... See, it's like when you pray for a storm not to hit here, it's like you're praying that it'll hit them. Whoever they are. And so I really got down to some serious praying. And I reminded the Lord time and again of a truth. Turn to Mark chapter 4 and look at this. In Mark chapter 4, notice in verse 35, Mark 4:35, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And now arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I think about that like the Lord, after his resurrection, ascended up, and he went up above all heavens, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and all of a sudden it's like, do you not care that we all perish? I mean, it's like the devil is dead set on destroying us. You gave your life at Calvary for us. You took our sins upon yourself. Therefore, I know you care. And in view of the fact that you do care, why all this? Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceeding and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so I reminded the Lord over and over that all you have to do is just say the word and this storm will back out. You could stop it in its tracks. I know you have the power. I see in the Bible where you stood in that boat and you said, peace be still, and the storm stilled. And so I began to pray to that end. Well, as time went along, I heard him saying, we're now at a category 3 storm. Then they begin to say, well, the wind is down now too. You know, on and on and on. And I was praying. And this is really weird, see, because I'm praying, Lord, maybe that if you just turn that thing. And I prayed that all the people that are associated with Berean Bible Study Association, with Grace Believers Bible Study, all that are here, I prayed, Lord, that not one of them will get a scratch. I prayed, Lord, that you'll protect. If it needs be, turn this thing away. And then I saw Jeff Weeks, I believe it was. And he's like, it's like, I don't understand this. He's saying it's turned. And then the next thing I know, we're on the west side of it instead of the east side. I guess you understand that the east side of a hurricane is the bad stuff. I'm sure you know far more about this, but if you'll notice that it turned like this all the time. And so, in other words, there'll be a point that the wind is coming out of the south, then there'll be a point it's going west, then there'll be a point it's going back to the south, and the eye is in here. And if you're on this side of that thing, it's not that bad. If you're on that side there, cover up. And so, all of a sudden, I'm finding that eye is going to the right of us. And I heard them saying that they're checking the wind over at that field over there at Fort Walton at 144 miles an hour. Something else. I was outside, and the wind was coming from the east. It's blowing at my house. I mean, it's just coming across there. It's just really blowing from the east. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if this wind is blowing from the east, then that thing must be on our right somewhere. And then it began to ease off a little, and the next thing, the wind is coming from the north. I said, hey, that thing is to our right. The Lord has answered. And sure enough, that's what it did. And it's like, okay, you prayed that the thing would go over there, and it went over there and wiped out the place where you're going to have the Bible conference. And so I said, well, hey, the Lord's will be done. I don't understand that. I don't understand why. But I considered something else. I considered, what if we'd have all got over there and we'd have had 400 or 500 people in there, and that thing would have been delayed somehow, and it would have come in over there, and everybody there are trying to get home or something. So I just got down and thanked the Lord for his grace and his mercy and his kindness. And I've not heard of any one individual associated with us that suffered severe loss. And some people call me. I had telephone calls. I got so it was like telephone sticking out my ear. We're going to have the Bible conference? One thing after another. What do you think is going to happen, Brother Moore? I said, everything will be just fine. And so in talking to Russ, I told Russ, I said, well, all I can say is that it appears to me everything will be fine where you're concerned. So they went out there yesterday. For any of you that might not know this, they went out to the beach yesterday, and his house is just as if it were untouched, more or less. The water, I believe he said, was about a foot or so underneath. It stands on piling, as some of you might know. And they've got like a basement area down there. And anything in the basement, I think he said about a foot of water there and stuff like that. But as far as their things inside their house, they're not hurt. The house itself is not hurt. But he said around them, and if you look there, you can see, hey, folks, they're around those people. Hey, houses are just, they are no more. God is real, folks. He's not asleep on a pillow. The Lord knows what's going on, and he hears when you pray. But there are people today that they don't operate on the basis of faith. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus Christ died for them. But they don't operate their lives on the basis of walking by faith. With God, nothing is impossible. Turn, please, to John. Now, I'm going to hurry along here just a little bit now. In John chapter 15, notice what Jesus Christ says to the apostles. John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, and according to Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory. By one Spirit we are baptized into Christ, so we're in Christ, Christ is in us. And I'm making an application in the passage. He that abideth in him and I in him, in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now watch it. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. But without the Lord, you cannot do anything in the spiritual realm. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And on and on and on. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Notice in verse 5. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Now, keep it in mind that nothing is impossible with the Lord. With the Lord, I mean, without the Lord, you can't do it. I mean, you can do nothing without the Lord. And therefore, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Don't chew your nails off. Don't walk the floor at night. Don't get ulcers worrying and thinking about it and on and on and on. Careful for nothing. And then, look in Luke 22. Luke 22. Verse 35. The Lord is referring to a situation here. He had sent the apostles forth. And now notice what he said to them, verse 35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without a purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And when the Lord sent you forth, did you lack anything? The Lord sent us to Montgomery. We never had abundant things as far as the flesh desires, but we never lacked. Everything was provided. So I'm thinking in terms of nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. Now, anything. Turn to John and look in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, now I'm using the passage only in the sense of what the Lord said. I'm using the passage only in the sense that that the Lord, what we've already discussed now, be careful for nothing. Nothing is impossible where the Lord is concerned. I'm not trying to tell you you should go home and claim the passage and say, okay, this is going to be my verse. I'm going to live by this verse. That's not the idea I'm presenting to you. I'm presenting to you the possibilities where Christ is concerned. Verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm referring to anything. Anything. Now, compare, please. Ephesians chapter 3. I mean, nail this one. I mean, hey, this is you right here. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, the Lord is able to do anything. Now we know that all things work together for good of them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. So I thought, okay then, there is something about this weekend. There is something about right now that the Lord is doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, or that we could reason out in our human wisdom and whatever pertaining to the Bible conference over there. I don't know what it is, but I know it is. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. You see, I think about the possibility of this Sunday morning being over there in Fort Walton Beach and Holiday Inn, standing there and looking out at about 500 individuals and preaching unto them. But that's not the Lord's will. That's not the way of the Lord in this particular case. God is able to do, he is able. He can do anything. There is nothing that he cannot do. And there isn't a situation he cannot handle. And God is a merciful God. And he's a God of comfort. Turn in your Bible, please, to James chapter 1. Consider seriously the passage. I'm talking about anything now. In James chapter 1, we'll start in verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I might mention to you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness, justification, sanctification, wisdom. Now all these things are by faith. In other words, we have wisdom in Christ. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Then there is a practical side and there is a spiritual side. In other words, we are justified spiritually and judicially, but we are also justified practically in our work for the Lord. But I am not justified in doing that which I know the Bible says I ought not to be involved in. For instance, the Lord said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I would not be justified in performing a wedding ceremony of a believer with an unbeliever. I wouldn't be justified in this. So there's a practical justification, a practical righteousness, and a practical sanctification, and a practical wisdom. Now, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, let him and it should be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, don't wonder if it's possible. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And we're talking about anything now. In other words, if you ask the Lord for wisdom, then believe you got it. Now, whatever you ask the Lord for, believe you got it. If you can't believe you got it, then don't ask for it. In other words, if you're in a situation so that you say, well, I just don't see how I can believe that, well, then don't ask. You're playing games. Therefore, that individual that wavereth is not going to receive from the Lord based upon what he has. Now, he can receive from the Lord that which is his through faith in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All those things are true. In Christ, an individual can be saved by the grace of God. He can be righteous by the faith of Christ, justified by the faith of Christ, forgiven and on and on, and yet at the same time walk around like an individual going through the wood banging on the end of the trees and whatever. Because in a practical sense, he will not believe the book. All right. The Lord said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we are able to ask or think. But when you ask, ask in faith, believing that God will do it. For if you waver, if you are just tossed about, every wind of doctrine, whatever, then don't think you're going to receive anything of the Lord. And then notice, in Genesis chapter 18, Genesis chapter 18, alright, in Genesis chapter 18, the context is about Sarah having a son. Now, Sarah is 90 years old. Abraham is 99. And so, this looks like an impossibility. Notice in verse 9, the angel of the Lord, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? He said, behold, in the tent. He said, I'll certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So, I mean, you have to think about it. Is it? I mean, how could you possibly even think like that? Did the Lord create the earth? Well, yes, he did. Did he make the star? Yeah. Did he put the sun out there? Yes. Did the Lord do all of it? Yes. Well, then what is there too hard for him? Hath he said, shall he not do it? If God promised you something, will he not keep his promise? What is there that's too hard for the Lord, huh? Are you telling me that a silly little storm out there in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, for the Lord to stop that thing or turn it or put it wherever he wants it to go, is too hard for the God of creation? Are you telling me that my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to Calvary with spikes in his hands and in his feet, and he suffered, bled, and died, and that God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, and the Lord can't handle a storm in the Gulf of Mexico? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You have to make up your mind. I mean, here's a man that's got a wife that's 90 years old, and God's already told him long time ago, your seed are going to outnumber the stars of heaven. And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted to him for righteousness. But old Abraham, after he believed in the Lord, he began to set about to bring this to pass. And so then the Lord said, well, hey, Sarah's going to bring forth a child. Now, that's impossible. Well, it's going too far now. This can never be. So the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know what? A thought comes into my mind pertaining to this. An individual looks at themselves. They've trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. They believe that He died for their sins at Calvary, was buried, and rose again. They believe that they have forgiveness in Christ, justification in Christ, and on. And they say, I just don't believe the Lord loves me. Oh, why? Well, you don't understand me. Don't need to. What is there about you that's different than anybody else? You're telling me the Lord can love a wretch like me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Why, the Lord even loves me. I know that'd blow your mind, but it's a reality. Is anything too hard? We're talking about anything. Can you think of anything that the Lord cannot accomplish? All right, we discuss nothing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Anything, if you ask anything according to the Lord's will, He'll do it. We know not what to pray for as well, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us, groanings that cannot be uttered. So, what's the point? Don't worry about it. Pray. Pray. Nothing too hard for the Lord, and then everything. Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 4 again. Philippians chapter 4. All right, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what? Hit me broadside, you know. Got to thinking about it. Hurricane's coming. What do we do? Ain't a whole lot we can do, is there? I mean, we can take plywood and nail over the windows, nail the doors too, tie everything down, get in the vehicle and run. We can do all those kind of things. And as a last resort, we can pray. Say, well, Lord, this is serious. It's like that old boy on top of his roof, nailing the shingles there. Got on a pair of overalls, finally he slips and he starts sliding. And he said, Lord, and about that time the trousers got hung on a nail. Said, that's all right, Lord, the nail's got me. Isn't that about the way we are? How about the tiny little minutest things? Do we ever remember to pray about those? We just pray about serious things. Why? That's all right, Lord, I'll handle this. So we start out to handle it and make a mess, and that little thing gets a little bit bigger, and then a little bigger, and then finally that thing gets so out of shape we don't know what to do with it. Lord, help me. And it's like, why didn't you ask to start with? Did you not believe that I could handle the most minute detail in your life? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request to God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding. Now, you know something? Don't you get the idea that God Almighty said you're to be a lazy slob waiting for God Almighty to hand you everything on a silver platter, like I've known about some people in school, a certain school that I know about, a religious school, going in and saying to the man that was the head of the school, "Brother so-and-so, would you please pray for me that my grades might come up so I can pass?" And he said, "Get out of here, you lazy slob. No, I won't pray any such prayer." Why? There isn't anything in this school that's being taught that you can't study and learn yourself. The Bible said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And yet we pray, "God Almighty, I pray for this and that and the other," on and on and on, because we're too lazy or preoccupied with our own selfish individual things to study it out. In everything by prayer and supplication. Turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. He's not saying go around praying all day long, 24 hours a day. He's saying the same thing that he's saying in verse 18. In everything give thanks, and this is the, and on and on and on. In other words, pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. You're not talking about go around praying all day long, or sitting at home in a corner somewhere, praying. That's not the idea. Pray about whatever that issue is. Pray about this thing. Pray about that thing. In everything, pray unto God. That's the idea. Turn, please, to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. This thing in Job is great. I mean, old Job has been through the mill, buddy. I mean, he's had it here. In Job chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." Isn't that something? You see, Job had just experienced the loss of all his property. Job had experienced the loss of his children. We're talking about weather now. He had experienced the loss of his financial assets. Bankrupt. He had experienced the loss of his health. Sitting on the ground, scratching his sores. And here this man said, "I know that thou canst do everything." God restored his health, his family, his wealth, his spiritual insight, and Job was able to pray for those that criticized him and said that, "Well, you're some kind of hyper. You're a self-righteous individual, you know." And so he prayed for them. Pray about everything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Job said, "Well, I found out. Hey, you can do anything." You know, like a child looks at his parent, his daddy, in faith. My daddy didn't do anything. My daddy is the greatest. I mean, that attitude, you know. Turn, please, to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Do you praise the Lord? When do you praise the Lord? Right after a hurricane has passed and you feel secure? When do you praise the Lord? Right after you've been through a terrible, traumatic experience, financially or physically or whatever. And then it's all over with and you begin to praise the Lord. You do that for a little while and then you forget. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Not self-exaltation. Not going around crowing about how important we are. Praying and finding the answer to prayer and then exalting the Lord. Telling people how important the Lord is. All the great things He's done. The Lord sure is good. I'm glad that I'm saved. But not only am I glad that I'm saved, bless God, I'm glad I know the Lord, folks. I'm glad the Lord revealed Himself unto me and made me see and understand that I don't have to be afraid. I believe, and I've said it so many times, I believe that I am an example of the grace of God. And any doubt in my mind about that? Out at the conference 2 or 3 years ago, I looked at the people out there, about 500 people, and I said to them, you are an example of the fact of the grace of God in my life. Nothing else could make it happen that way. Just the grace of God. Not my wisdom or understanding or charisma. Just the grace of God.